Unbroken. Written by Joas Bishmioga. Read by Opal Song. Part of the Best Defense series. The years had done little to change Hogwarts' school of witchcraft and wizardry. Its towers were perhaps a little more crumbled, the rutted dirt road for the thestral-drawn carriages a little deeper, the lake a few feet higher. Over the outermost walls, a band of air shimmered faintly like a heat mirage. Farther east, a tree shifted restlessly, the whomping willow now just visible from the road. The front gate stood open. But Kurama no more trusted that than the shimmering air. His tail flicked as he examined the empty grounds, clawed fingers tightening ever so slightly on a folded sheet of parchment, before he lifted it to the doorway. It had summoned him here, after all. If he remembered the ways of this magic, it would lift any spells barring his path. Sure enough, the air flashed blue under the arch, light sucking itself away to glow thinly on the masonry. Kurama stepped through unarmed, and began taking note of the more visible changes on the grounds as he made his way up to the castle itself. What once had been unbroken, manicured grass was now a field spotted with thick stands of heather and heath. Tiny wildflowers lined the path up to the castle, blooming heartily in the June sun. Gorse bushes made vibrant, yellow spots on either side of the main entrance, the massive doors otherwise easily missed between thickly woven ivy. A man waited between the two bushes, leaning heavily on a cane. Simple black robes and hair made him almost invisible against the dark wood of the doors, drawing attention to the pallor of his face and the gray at his temples. Green eyes widened slightly behind thick glasses, gaze pausing a moment on the tails lifted elegantly behind Kurama. Only three, after how much power he needed to find a second, otherwise doomed fetus. But those three, all out for formality's sake. Kurama stopped a few steps in front of the man, sharp eyes picking out the tip of an unmistakable scar under his dark bangs. "Professor Potter," he greeted neutrally. "Deputy Headmaster, as the letterhead had proclaimed." "Yoko Kurama," Harry repeated, in almost the same tone. His voice was more pained than Kurama remembered. "I almost thought you wouldn't come. Considering the circumstances, I almost didn't," Kurama replied honestly. Harry made a soft sound in his throat, turning away. "He has more faith than either of us, then." He stomped off into the entrance hall, Kurama following slowly in his wake. Planters full of red roses shifted his way as they passed. "Although..." Harry trailed off, shooting Kurama a fierce look. "I know," Kurama murmured. That he'd made it in time at all was more by accident than design. It was just after noon. Young faces peeping out of the great hall. More than one child had red-rimmed eyes already. "It's not lunch," Harry said quietly. "They're holding vigil. The children, the teachers, all the alumni who loved him most. There's not enough room for them anywhere else." Kurama paused at that, facing the students, most with the familiar red and gold ties, but many with the yellow and black, and a lone green and silver. If it was just this once, and not for them. He bowed politely, eyes downcast. The children scattered into the depths of the hall. Harry was watching him with the slightest wry twist to his mouth. "Are you still teaching the evils of demons, then?" Kurama asked. Not since I got the job, we aren't, Harry replied sharply. I'm for constant vigilance and well-concerned judgment, not that brainless racist crap. He shrugged, leading Kurama to a staircase heading down. Only they're all wondering why you, he added as he tapped his cane and the stairs escalated them down. That wasn't something Kurama could explain. He let his gaze fall to the cane instead, raising an eyebrow at Harry. Harry clumped onwards into the lower hall. Reason I took the post, he answered. 20 years now, and I'm back to walking. It'll be 50 before I'm back on a broom. His sharp gaze latched onto the tails. You? You wouldn't recognize my human form now, Kurama said. A burly Hawaiian dancer, nearly as tall as Yoko. The islands had been the only direction he could escape from Tokyo. Even if I could shift to that form, I... He tilted his head to the small door they were approaching. He remembered this courtyard, overlooked and overgrown during his student years. But he felt it now, entirely changed. I was too old. Harry paused before the door, setting his hand to lean against it, holding it closed. His next words were harshly controlled. Your heart? My heart, Kurama murmured in agreement. What light there'd been in Harry's eyes died. He's really not going to survive this, is he? Kurama slowly shook his head. No. If not this one, then the next. Or worse, the fall equinox. Harry shifted his weight back onto his legs and pulled the door open. Behind it, a curtain of vines blocked most of the view. Kurama had them open with the brush of a finger, and he looked beyond into a thick mass of greenery. Ivy climbed the walls, twined with fading morning glories, honeysuckle, grapes, and more. Shrubs and bushes blocked what archways there'd once been. Dwarf apple, cherry, peach, butterfly bush, holly, lilac, daphne, reikai grass flower, silverbell, bisei, and simpler flowers ran riot, spilling out of planter beds and baskets hung on curved struts overhead. An old fountain near the center had been converted for strawberries, and it was there that Kurama spotted the white-haired old man, busy hand-weeding the patch. His robes may once have been a particular color, but Kurama couldn't tell under the ground in mud, grass stains, and countless hard washings. Neville, he whispered. Headmaster Longbottom looked up, dark eyes bright in his lined face. You're late, he said, wrinkles deepening in a welcoming smile. Then he squinted. You look different. Kurama couldn't answer. Behind him, Harry twitched his wand. A pair of glasses leapt onto Neville's face. Ah, Neville said, blinking owlishly. You are different. Thank you, Harry. You're supposed to be resting. I am, Neville replied. At the same moment, Kurama said, He is. They glanced at each other, Neville's grin turning boyish. This would be why I wrote, Neville told him, eyes not leaving Kurama's as he added, Everybody's been fussing for the past 6 weeks. Kurama raised an eyebrow, and Neville glanced down sheepishly. It didn't get old until after 3. Which, Harry interrupted lightly, which would be about the time he began making arrangements to die today. His voice broke, and he turned away with a soft curse. Most people don't get so much warning, Neville murmured, setting a hand on Harry's shoulder, to be clasped in Harry's own. I won't claim to be unafraid, but I've made my peace, said all my goodbyes, and I'm going to die as I lived, as a bloody pig-headed Gryffindor. Harry made a choked sound that could have been a laugh or a sob. I love you all, Harry. Now go. I can't hold back the solstice any longer. Harry hesitated, a single instant where his hand clenched on Neville's, then let go, and stumped jerkily from the garden. The ivy covered the door once more. Silence. Both plant masters took a deep breath and sighed, Power surging. That's better, Neville breathed. The line of his shoulders relaxed imperceptibly, magic flowing unrestrained. I almost lied to him, you know.
Oh?
I almost said no regrets. I have one. A slight bit of ulterior motive on my part. Neville glanced at Kurama. Aside from having someone who can understand my last hours and safely stay and remove my body. Those two I figured, Kurama replied evenly. He'd only once had to, when Shiori... But he'd only held her hand through the end and set it down on the thin hospital mattress. Not this. You may, perhaps, be surprised by the last, Neville said. The grin was back. One that would have been shy 100 years before. He gestured for Kurama to walk with him and headed deeper into the garden. I wasn't a particularly subtle boy when we were young.
Ah,
are you speaking of the crush you had on me? Guess I haven't changed a bit. Aside from the aging, the security, and the self-confidence, not that Kurama could see.
You regret not telling me then?
He inquired, making me face it. But Neville shook his head. Not at all. You would have had to let me down, and things would have gotten very awkward. And Kurama privately thought that awkwardness may have resulted in a wizard much less powerful and relaxed than Headmaster Longbottom. Neville looked up towards the hanging baskets. What I do regret is not stealing a kiss that May. Kurama stopped short in the middle of the path and stared. Not that things would have been any less awkward, unless I got the bright idea to play it off as a joke or side effects. Neville peered up into Kurama's face. But I wouldn't have regretted it.
Regret what you've done, not what you've not done.
It wasn't a sentiment Kurama had ever associated with Neville before. But somehow...
Somehow...
Kurama's hand lifted almost of its own accord, cupping Neville's jaw.
Far be it from me, then, to let you die with regrets.
Neville blinked.
Kurama.
The rising tide of this solstice's power made it easier to understand and to say it.
There aren't a lot of people I care about, Kurama murmured, taking a step closer. My mother, my father, my friends.
He paused.
My student.
And he pressed his lips to Neville's. After a few moments, Neville pulled away, eyes searching Kurama's. Kurama waited. Whatever Neville was expecting to find, it wouldn't be pity. Finally, Neville exhaled softly, lifting Kurama's hand from his jaw.
Thank you, he said, a smile ghosting across his lips.
Then he stepped away. Come help me weed the baskets. An amused smile. My charms aren't what they used to be. Kurama gave a quick huff of laughter.
As I recall, that was hardly your best owl.
Neville grinned, shaking his head, as Kurama grew out vines to lift the hanging baskets down. One by one, they set to pulling airborne seeds, mostly dandelions and thistledown, loose, shrinking roots gently out of the soil, and sorting the greens into other baskets for salads and composts, respectively. Through the hours, the solstice power accumulated, the root growth steadily becoming harder to reverse, needing more power. Conversely, more power became available to draw on, feeding between Kurama and Neville in an endless loop. At last, between one basket and the next, Neville faltered, then crumpled. Kurama caught him against his chest, sinking to the ground. The old man's breath rattled in his ear. Fingers spasmed in Kurama's shirt.
Shh, I'm here. I'm here. I won't let go.
Neville's hands tightened, chin digging into Kurama's shoulder, then went slack. The magic held its breath.
2, 3.
Then power screamed from Neville's body. It stabbed through Kurama's heart and down his spine, a fourth tail bursting into existence in the shockwave. Plants exploded into bloom, the entire garden becoming a thicket,
And it didn't stop there. Kurama felt the wave continue on into the school and grounds, flowers breaking from planters in the kitchens, the dungeons, the corridors, the great hall, and on through the towers. And still it kept streaming out, moss cracking stones underfoot, the arches above crashing into a canopy of shrubs and vines. Through it all, Kurama held on, keeping a tiny bubble of clear air in the center, until finally, finally, silence. The end. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. And from there you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening!